Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
A lady by the name of Ann Jarvis began to start a mother's club to gather families together. She gathered moms together, often families are divided during the Civil War, to bring people together. Well, then her daughter, Anna Jarvis, in 1905, in an attempt to honor her mother, began to celebrate at her home church this thing called Mother's Day. And on May 10th, 1908, at the Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, they had the very first Mother's Day celebration. President Woodrow Wilson, in 1914, made it official that every second Sunday in May would be celebrated as Mother's Day. So that's how we came up with Mother's Day. Now here's the thing about Anna Jarvis. Originally it was a day, Sunday, the second Sunday in May, in which we would honor and celebrate mothers. But what happened was, like many things, good things that start, it soon became a political thing. So even during Prohibition, people who were trying to prohibit alcohol would use Mother's Day to try to say it wasn't mothers against drunk driving, it was really mothers against drinking, period. This kind of thing that happened. She said, that wasn't the intent. It was not meant to be something that was used for politics. But also, it became very commercialized as well, as you see still today. And it said, she attempted to stop people from selling greeting cards and Mother's Day cards. And this is how she argued. She said, Mother's Day is a day in which, instead of people going out to HEB or Walgreens and buying a Mother's Day card for $4.75, signing it, and giving to the moms, Mother's Day should be a day in which children write a handwritten letter in which they show how much they appreciate their moms. And so this is how extreme Anna Jarvis got. So again, Anna Jarvis, the founder of Mother's Day, the founders of Mother's Day, eventually began a petition to eliminate Mother's Day. She said, I'm through the commercialism and all that stuff. So she began a petition in 1943 to say, no more Mother's Day. This is not what it was designed to be. Matter of fact, in 1948, she protested so much that she was arrested for trying to interrupt a Mother's Day celebration. So here's the thing about Mother's Day, and I think it was a noble effort on her part, that we need to celebrate moms on a regular basis for the many sacrifices they made. And what we're going to look at today is what I call a poem for mothers, Proverbs 31. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If you need one, we've got some Bibles on the back table. Proverbs 31. And this is something that Jewish tradition says didn't just happen on Mother's Day, but on the Friday as Sabbath began. Friday night as Sabbath began, and they began to enjoy the Sabbath meal. Children and the husband would recite Proverbs chapter 31, 10 through 31, from memory to honor their moms every Friday night. And here's the reason why it's so memorable, because the 22 verses there all begin with the first letter of the Jewish alphabet. There's 22 letters, and so it's in alphabetical order. So they would remember from memory and share this verse with their moms. This is written by a guy named King Lemuel, which we don't know who he is. There's no other recording or notation of King Lemuel in the Old Testament. Some people actually believe it's Solomon with another name, but many people believe that he is a foreign king who became a Jewish proselyte, who became a Jewish believer. And in verses 1 through 9, it's actually his mom, the queen, who's saying to her son, the most important thing for you as king is your character, is your character. And she mentions, you know, stay away from the women, stay away from the wine, and all that kind of stuff. But she says, as a king, as a ruler, queen to the prince is your character. And now in verses 10 through 31, she's going to share with him, and he's going to share with us, what to look for in a wife. Look at verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. That word excellent is the Hebrew word halak. Halak. Actually, you have to kind of use the back of your throat. And it means noble or character. And so even in finding a wife, it's character. A wife of character, and she's asked a rhetorical question, and she says, for her worth is far above jewels. The little word there, jewels, is red rocks or rubies. So it's very valuable, a woman of high character. Look at this. He says, verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She consumes a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Quick note here. How many of y'all, in reading all that this wife, this mother does, in reading about that, you just get tired. Right? And the reason why is this. You have to understand that Lemuel and his mom, the queen, were very wealthy. They're like upper class. They've got a lot of wealth. They've got maidens. They buy and sell land. And so what I believe Lemuel's mom is doing here is not saying these are the things that a wife or a mother should do. He's pointing out character again. Because look at this. Look at this. He says this in verse 15. She rises also while it is still night. So at 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m., she's up and gives food to her household and portions to her maids. So she gives food to her whole house, but also the butlers and the maids that work with her. But then look at verse 18. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. Look at this. She's up before sunrise at 4 a.m., preparing food for her whole household, the workers and everybody. And when everyone's gone to bed now because the sun has gone down, she has the lamp still burning and she's still working. Are y'all with me? And look at this amazing lady. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff, her hands grasp the spindle. She sends her hand to the poor, she stretches out her hands to the needy. So on top of getting up before sunrise, staying up after sunset, and working for her family, she also sees the poor and volunteers at the homeless shelter, at the soup kitchen on a regular basis. Y'all see that? And then it says in verse 1, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. So when it gets cold and it begins to snow, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Scarlet is a dark red color that absorbs the rays of the sun. And she made all this. So she says, the text says, when it gets cold during the winter, she makes her entire family custom North Face jackets, right? That's how amazing she is. She says, it's getting cold. She begins sewing and making these amazing scarlet jackets. She makes coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen purple. She makes her own Louis Vuitton and Gucci clothing. That's how skilled she is. Her husband's known throughout the land. And not only that, she has so much time and energy. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She has her own business as well, supplies belts and tradesmen. She also says there in verse 16, she considers fields and buys it. She's also into real estate. She buys and sells land. All right? So get this. This woman is up at 4 a.m. She prepares food for the entire household, her family, her husband, even the workers that are there. And then, right after she's done that, she's already buying and selling land and getting food from afar, making transactions around the world. On top of that, she says, oh, I've got lunch free. And so she goes and serves at the soup kitchen downtown. She comes back and then says, you know what? I'm going to make some clothing, not only for my family, but for others that I can sell and help bring income into the family. And then she's up way past while everyone else is asleep, and she continues to work hard. And then, verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom and teaches, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She's a homeschool mom, too. right? So on top of doing all that, she homeschools her kids and teaches them Bible lessons. She looks well to the ways of her household, verse 27, and does not eat the bread of idleness. So you look at all this and you think, this is an impossible standard. And again, most likely it's King Lemuel's mom, a queen who has servants and all that. And she's able to buy and sell land because she's so wealthy. And she probably has like other realtors that work for her. So what I think is being said here is, find a wife. It's in verse 10, of character. Of character. That's the most important thing. So it's not in your notes. Here are the 10 things. You can write these down. These are the 10 character traits I believe King Lemuel's mom is saying that a woman should aspire to have, and that single men should aspire to marry, and single men should aspire to be. These are the 10 characteristics. These are the 10 characteristics. Number one, she's faithful. She's faithful. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. She's faithful. She's faithful, or trustworthy, whatever word you want to use. First characteristic out of 10 is that she's faithful or trustworthy. Faithful or trustworthy. Number two, as you can tell by all the stuff that's been said, she's hardworking. She's hardworking. She's hardworking. So she's faithful and she's hardworking. Number three, she's wise. Not only does she know the Bible, know God's word, but she applies it to her life and is able to help others apply it to their lives. So she's faithful, she's hardworking, she's wise. Number four, she's compassionate. She not only sees the needs of her family, she sees the needs of others, and she serves others. She's compassionate. She's compassionate. Compassionate. Number five is she's resourceful. She's resourceful. Again, she makes for herself and for others clothing. She's resourceful. She's resourceful. Number six, she's selfless. She's selfless. You can't tell by now she's selfless. She's sacrificial and selfless. Then verse 17 says this, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So she goes to CrossFit regularly and she lifts a lot of weight. I'm just kidding. Number seven is she's strong. She is strong, not physically, but she's strong in the Lord. She has a strong faith. She's strong in the Lord. And women, you can work out. I'm not saying don't work out. You can work out, but it's not talking about physical strength here. It's talking about strength in the Lord. You're strong. Number eight is dignified. Dignified. So they're modest and dignified. They're dignified, or they're respected, both in their speech and their clothing and their, just everything about it. They're very dignified. Number nine is they're hopeful. They're hopeful. If you look at verse 25, strength and dignity are in clothing, and she smiles at the future. She smiles at the future. She's hopeful. And even in very adverse, troubling times, she's always saying, you know what? We can trust God. We can trust God. She's hopeful. Number 10 is she's kind. She's kind. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She's kind. So again, every Friday night, by tradition, the children and the husband recite this from memory to the wife. And I think it's a reminder of these are the character attributes to look for. So point number one is this. As a result of her character that is seen and caring for others, others care for, praise, and reward her, not just on Mother's Day. How do we know that? Verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. And the English doesn't capture this well. That word nobly is the exact same word as verse 10, excellent. Excellent. Halak, I think, is the word. So here's what it really, I think, should say, and I think it's like a play on words. Many daughters have done excellent, but you excel them all. Y'all see that? There's many women who are excellent, but you are more excellent. So that's what the husband and the kids say. They praise her. And then verse 31, give her the prop of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. What does that mean? Reward her, and then also let her be recognized. So here's the three things I wrote, A, B, and C. We should praise and thank our moms and grandmothers and other spiritual moms verbally on a regular basis. Do it verbally. Do it verbally. And back then they have cell phones, so I would also say you can do it textually, all right? You can do it by text as well. My wife on Friday, so you know she works at University of Houston at the School of Hotel and Restaurant Management, the Hilton School. And so they had their graduation on Friday. Congratulations to the graduates, too. I know there are several that are sitting here today. Congratulations to them. So she had graduation on Friday. So rather than going her traditional workwear, she dressed up, like really, really dressed up for graduation. She had to help manage and, you know, or coordinate all this stuff. And I'll tell you, my wife was looking hot when she left. Just beautiful. And I was in a rush, and she was in a rush. She had to get out the door to get to graduation. So later that day, I texted her and said, when you left the house this morning, you look so beautiful, right? And I put, I can't wait for you to get home. I think I put that on. Is that TMI? So verbally or textually, I think we need to recognize the moms and our wives and the significant women in our lives. Then materially, I think again, today is a great day. We give gifts and stuff, and we give flowers, but even materially, we can recognize that. And then C is publicly as well, and that's what we do on Mother's Day, to publicly recognize our moms and grandmothers and spiritual moms. So publicly do that, because it says, and let the works praise her in the gates. The gates were like the town hall or the city center, the town square. There they even celebrate, so publicly do that as well. But here's the thing, here's the key. Where do we as both men and women, wives and husbands, single men, single women, grandmothers, grandfathers, where do we find the source of this character and growing in character? And he tells us, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. He says that word charm is the good works we do to be noticed by people. The good works that we do to be noticed by people. And I don't know about you, but regularly, don't we all do that? We'll do good things, charming things, say the right things to be seen and heard by the right people. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I mean, I don't, but I know some of you in here do, right? We do that. And that's why he says, charm is deceitful. We know that. We all say the right thing, do the right thing, to be seen by the right people, heard by the right people. He says, charm is deceitful. And in dating especially, right, you put your best foot forward. You may hate Chinese food. And the woman says, let's go grab Chinese. And you say, ooh, I love Chinese food, right? Because you're trying to put your best foot forward, right? Not until you've been married for about 10 years that you say, I've always hated Chinese food all my life, right? There's nothing you can do about it now. Charm is deceitful. And then it says beauty is vain. Beauty is fleeting. Beauty is fleeting. It means you can be the most physically just... In California, we do this thing. You probably don't do it in Texas. In California, some of the guys there rate girls on a scale of 1 to 10. I don't know if y'all do it here in Texas. It's a joke, y'all. I'm just kidding. You can be a 10, but eventually that will fade as well. Years ago, there was a very famous actress who was on her deathbed, and she was there in hospice care. And so they didn't want the paparazzi around taking pictures of this famous actress. And so a paparazzi got in and was able to get a photo of her. She was very old and not looking very well. And they posted it online. And I posted it on Facebook, right? Because she's always seen of pictures in her 20s and 30s, right? And her family was outraged that they would post this picture. But I said, beauty is vain. Beauty is fleeting. Physical beauty is fleeting. It's fleeting. So he says this, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The source of character is a fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 1. Let's go back all the way back to the very beginning. Proverbs 1:7. Repeated throughout Proverbs. This thing about wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. He's making a contrast there. He says, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, it's your reverence and respect for God. Your boss may not see you, your husband may not see you, your wife may not see you, your parents may not see you, but he says, God is always there watching you. He sees you. He's king. He's your Lord. He knows. He says, that's the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10. Turn over a couple chapters, 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So then he has not just knowledge, he has wisdom and understanding. He says, when you know God and you fear him in a healthy fear, not a morbid fear, healthy fear, he says, that's the source of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. He says, that is the source of this godly woman's character. Here's point number two. The source of her character is fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. fear of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10 says the exact same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the very first thing she does, her priority, just like Matthew 6:33, is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. She seeks Jesus first, and that's where she finds a source of her strength, her dignity, and her character. Let me ask you a question. This is not a trick question at all. I know I ask you a lot of trick questions. Button-down shirt. Which is the most important button on a button-down shirt? Which button? The first one. Righto. You got it. Watch this. This is a new illustration. I'm not undressing. I scared some people in the first service. Children were covering their eyes and all that stuff. So, the most important button on a button-down shirt is not the last button. It's the first button. Thank you, thank you. If I came to City Refuge this morning dressed like this, two things would have happened. You would have said, number one, that guy got dressed in the dark. He got dressed in the dark. He hadn't even looked in the mirror yet, right? Or number two, that guy has a very poor sense of fashion. And many of y'all are hard to believe it. I know that. Right? A new trend, right? But because of the fact that the very first button was off, every other button is going to be off. Are y'all with me? And even ones, I put the first one, try to fix it. So let's ask, all right? Last button, the last button, right? It's gone too far now. I'm glad I wore an undershirt because you can see my belly button at this point, right? I can see your midriff, Pastor. You would say, it doesn't matter what you do with any of the second, third, fourth, and fifth buttons if the first button is still off. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
And that's what the text is saying right here. If the first thing you do isn't to reverence God and have a relationship with Him, that's your first button. Every area of your life, every other area of your life is going to be off. No matter how you try to fix it, if a respect, a healthy respect for God is not first, every other area of your life is going to be off. No matter how you try to fix it, if button one is off, everything else is going to be off. You know what happens? People come to my door for counseling or Don Taylor's door for counseling and they say, look at me! Fix me, right? And they say, my marriage is messed up, my ministry's messed up, all this stuff is messed up. And we simply tell them, look, you can try to work on all these buttons right here, but if the first button's off, there's nothing we can do. You've got to keep Christ first. Are y'all with me? So he says, that is the source of this woman's character, is she is keeping Christ first, God first. She has a fear of the Lord. So even if her husband's not at work, she's not going to flirt with that male coworker because she knows God is watching. Are y'all with me? He's not going to send that text to the other one because even though the wife not sent it, God sees that text. Are y'all with me? So he says, first things first. You get that first button in line and every other button will fall suit. Now before I keep going, I'm going to change this the right way. This is even uncomfortable for me. Thank you, John. Next Sunday, John, why don't you come with your shirt like all my I know your wife, John. Cheech will not let you walk out the door like that. He'll say, John, go back in the room, look in the mirror, and get yourself dressed. Hey, go to 1 Peter 3. I know we've been in that, and Keith covered that a couple weeks ago. We just reiterated this thing about character, and I'd say character in general for all of us. Beauty fades, but character endures. First Peter 3, verse 1. In the same way, like we looked at last week, just like Jesus submitted himself to the Father and his will, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. But even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Look at this, verse 4. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Y'all with me? This woman recognizes character in the sight of God. Character in the sight of God. So here's the big idea for today. Thank God regularly for women of character. Thank God regularly for women of character. Women who fear and reverence and respect the Lord, and it's seen in their character, in their behavior. Thank God regularly for women of character. Community group questions, and again, a reminder, if you're looking for a community group, outside those doors on the left is a board. Someone will be there if you'd love to get you connected in the group. Question number one, Anna Jarvis, who founded Mother's Day in 1908, later protested the commercialization of Mother's Day and even called for a boycott of Mother's Day. She said it was a day for families to honor the mothers, not a day for businesses to profit. What are some ways that we can regularly honor the women in our lives? All right, what are some of the ways that we can regularly honor the women in our lives? Not just honor them because they're women, but honor them because of what God is doing in their lives and what God is, how they're growing in Him. How are some ways we can do that? Number two, on Friday evenings, Jewish husbands and children will recite Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 from memory at the Sabbath table. Why have American Christians neglected the spiritual discipline of scripture memorization and recitation? And lastly, read 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 21. Prepare for next week's message. Let me close with this. My mom was able to see yesterday. We've got a very busy day today, so I saw her yesterday and Friday. When we were in California growing up, she owned a flower shop. And so regularly during the summer, and when I come home for Christmas and break, I would work at her shop and deliver flowers and help her out around the shop. One day I came in, and I hadn't been there in a while, and I walked into the back entrance, and there was like a little warehouse in the back, and there were all these roses hanging from the rafters. So she had these big clusters of like a dozen roses, and they're all hanging up on the rafters. And I'm thinking to myself, why are these roses hanging up in the rafters in this little warehouse area? So I come in, and I said, Mom, I saw all those roses hanging up in the rafters. What are those? And she said, oh, those are the roses that we couldn't sell. But this is what the things that roses do. How many of you ever smell the roses, right? Beautiful smell, right? She said, this is what we do. The roses we can't sell, we hang up in the rafters, and eventually they dry out. And then we take them down, and then we just pick the petals off of them. And then she said, and then we can now sell them as potpourri. Because if you've ever been to a house with rose petals, that beautiful aroma still fills the house. So she says, even though physically they're not beautiful plants anymore, they're still giving this beautiful aroma out, even though they've withered, right? And I thought to myself, you know what Paul says about us as Christians in Corinthians? He says that Christians have the fragrant aroma of Christ. Did y'all know that? Yeah. We've got the fragrant aroma of Jesus Christ, and we can go into a room and beautify the room, change the atmosphere because of our fragrant aroma of Jesus Christ. And that's the picture here that the writer Lemuel was saying. He says, you know what, to the women, beauty fades. Charm is deceitful. But if you grow in your character for the Lord, that fragrant aroma can go on and on and on. And change the environment, change the atmosphere wherever you go. Change the atmosphere of your home, your workplace, your church. All because though physically you may be withering, he says that fragrant aroma continues to persist. Let's pray. God, I pray for all of us in here that we would first fear you. That'd be the first butt that we put on, that there's a holy reverence and respect for you, God. And God, I pray for those that have yet to trust Christ, that today would be the day that they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Because all the stuff we're talking about, male or female, young or old, is impossible to do. To have the character of Jesus Christ is impossible apart from Jesus. We pray that you would be the business and work of saving those today that don't know you. God, we do thank you for our moms, for our spiritual moms, aunts, and grandmothers, the significant women in our lives, who demonstrate character. God, who are hardworking, who are faithful, who are wise, resourceful, who are compassionate, who are kind. kind and hopeful. They're dignified. God, thank you for those women in our lives. God, we bless you and honor you for them, God. God, I pray for our continued growth for all of us, male and female, young and old, that again, we would keep Christ and his kingdom first. And in so doing, God, that you would make us more like Jesus Christ. You would transform our character. That we would be the fragrant aroma of Jesus Christ no matter where we go. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.